among multiple verses last week, and this has been a concern for me of late, for myself and for the body, is just this issue of blood-bought boldness. The ability for us to grow in our confidence and clarity about how we approach God. And it's a pretty strong theme, obviously, the New Testament. But we shared Hebrews 10, 19 through 20 last week. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that it is his flesh. And it goes on to talk about entering fully, drawing near to the Lord. And we talked about this issue of boldness and entering boldly into the presence of the Lord, or dwelling boldly in the presence of the Lord, because of the blood of Jesus alone. Last week we emphasized this issue of running to the Lord dirty, you know, putting a short leash on our guilt and trying to do time away from the Lord. We talked about the blood of Jesus becoming the full focus of our faith and our confidence for approaching the Lord and coming near him, and how essential that is, because we sometimes create other gospels and other religions by staying away, feeling guilty, doing the fig leaf thing of staying away from the Lord. And so I've been hearing the Lord say to me personally that I need to grow deeper in my understanding of the full sufficiency of the blood of Jesus for my relationship with the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 9, there's another dimension of this that I just want to sow into you briefly, and then we'll sing a couple songs. In Hebrews 9, 11 through 14, it says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent," meaning the one in heaven, "not made with human hands," meaning not of this creation. There is a holy place and a holy of holies, an ark of the covenant. All that's in heaven. That's why Moses was told to build it. "He entered after his resurrection," maybe after his ascension, but after the resurrection, "Jesus entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of blood of goats like the old priest or calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." What a moment that must have been. Jesus enters the heavenly realms, now born as a man. I mean, this is the first time in heaven as a man. And he's been born on the earth in a virgin's womb, but now he's bore blood, he's conquered sin, conquered Satan, and he's now resurrected from the dead. He goes in with his blood into this tabernacle that no man could enter. A man enters, holy and righteous, with his own blood, Jesus. And it says, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for purification the flesh," meaning if the Old Testament held over and had some merit, "how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish," look, "purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." That's the phrase there at the end. How much more will the blood purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What we understand from the book of Hebrews is that our life and our conscience, that's our inner compass to tell what's right and wrong. You've got one before you're saved. It's just all misdirected and not grounded in Christ and being sanctified by the Spirit. But that inner compass of your conscience needs to be released from its guilt, we talked about last week, only by the blood of Jesus, the guilt and shame. But it also needs to be cleansed from dead works, from the dead works that happen within our lives. So another way this could be said is that the full and only payment of the Lord for our sins, Jesus' blood, must cleanse our consciences from guilt stemming from sins, but also purify the activity of trying to earn our forgiveness through religious works. And what we mean by that is that your conscience gets even heightened higher, obviously, when you're born again. You obviously haven't reached perfection, so you've struggled with some sin, even as a believer. Your conscience gets activated, and it's stirred up, and you need the blood to deal with forgiveness and guilt to get rid of that, but you also need the blood to purify your conscience from giving itself to dead works. The context of the book of Hebrews is a bunch of Jews who had practiced Judaism and done works. They was very ceremonial and special days. And they had done works to get right with God. And they had then received the gospel, left all that, and went to the new covenant in Jesus and trusted him. But what was happening among the Hebrews, or the Jews, is persecution and persuasion was trying to draw them back from simple faith in the atonement of Jesus back to religious works. And so why the writer of Hebrews writes this is he wants to warn them from letting an overactive conscience that feels guilty he wants to warn them for it not to go back to doing dead works. And what's interesting is that phrase, dead works. Why does the writer use that? It's because in the book of Numbers, it was illegal for a Jew to touch or be near a dead body. If they touched a dead body, they would be unclean before the Lord for 7 days and unclean from his covenant community. So what he's saying is, if you give yourself to good works, this is interesting, it will be just like you touching a dead body, and you'll be unclean before the Lord in the midst of his community. Now, for us, that doesn't mean bowls and ceremonial sprinklings and bloods. That's not what we do. But what we do is prayer, fasting, and word, going to church, those kinds of things. Whatever works might be to you, being kind to people, all things we love and believe in, but they are the manifestation of us receiving the grace because we're in position, not the performance so that we get into position. Now, why this is important, even to you Protestants, it's very important to other denominations or religions who are all about works with no confidence of salvation. And I tell you, I was in a Bible study with a group of Catholics one time, and they just thought it was so arrogant that I was speaking so confidently about my salvation, that I was saved. And I was just using Bible language, but what I had to explain to them is my confidence is not rooted in what I've done and not done. My confidence is rooted in what Jesus did. I'm boasting in what Christ has done and its finished work. And in fact, if I don't boast in that, I'm not confident in that. I'm just weighing my life, trying to be better than worse. And it's this weight thing. I have no confidence before God, and I offend the Lord and become unclean before him. I become an offense because I'm saying no to his gospel. And so the scriptures here are very clear that you and I need to repent of sin, but we also need to repent of dead works. And I don't know if you're doing this, but it's an important thing for you to understand and get rid of any either conscious works you're doing to get God to like you or unconscious religious you're doing. Last week we talked about sometimes we set a time when we sinned to feel guilty and be away from the Lord. That's actually a work. That's a work. Or I'm going to read my Bible enough or go to church to get myself in better place with God. If you do that, that's another gospel. It's another gospel, and it's called dead works and makes you unclean. Listen, from Alpha to Omega, our approach to our God is by the blood of Jesus. It's by the blood of Jesus. His work, his fullness is what gives me the ability to come before him. I was thinking about, and this illustration is weak, but my children, Glory's 10, Patience 5, they're my blood. I'm committed to them. They're not always perfect. They'll mess up. And I was thinking about these two little girls, and if they had messed up, they felt guilty, and decided, I can't live in Dad's house, and they pitched a tent out in the yard or across the street until they had felt better or I was started to be nice to them, what a funky thing that would be. I don't like it when they do something wrong. There's discipline that's involved, and it will happen with the Lord. But listen, my kids, my babies are accepted by me because they got my blood. They got my blood in them. They're my responsibility. I love them, love them, love them when they do well and when they don't do well. And they're living by genetics with me. I mean, I'm just committed to extending grace with discipline within their lives. I wonder how many of you still pitch a tent away from the Lord because you feel like you've not been doing enough. If that's happening with you and you're living under guilt and shame or you are giving yourself to working hard for God to try to make yourself feel better, you have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have embraced what's called dead works, and it makes you unclean. It is a radical thing for us to stay focused on Jesus' blood is my only qualification to come before the Father. It's my only confidence. The Father looks with favor on His Son, and now that I'm in His Son, I'm in the bloodline, He looks with favor upon me. Yes, I must repent, and we never want to make light of sin. And listen, I don't ever want you to not do good works. But listen, you'll do more good works if you'll come boldly into His presence by His merit, let Him transform you, fill you with the Spirit, and then you'll go out and do works for the glory of God. But you'll never do those works to get God to like you or to accept you. So, it's important that we have our consciences cleaned so that we can have confidence before Him. One last thing before we worship. We're going to worship just a couple more songs to say this truth again. But if you determine where you are with God by how less or much you're cussing, or by less or much you're reading your Bible, or less or much you're doing good works, you're going to have an insecure relationship with the Father. Because you're going to be evaluating, your conscience is going to be all over the place, doing dead works, and you know it's never enough. But if you'll get your heart locked in on the full atonement of Jesus and His blood, and that He loves you as much as He loves His Son. You got to say that to you over and over. He loves me as much as He loves His Son. His blood makes me righteous. I can be confident that I'm saved because I'm confident in who Jesus is, not in what I'm not. So this morning, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to help us. And remember these phrases. When you struggle, and 1 John said, I write this so you won't sin. But if you do sin, and I think I'm in the right room, people who might struggle still with sanctification, listen, don't run away from God, run to Him. Don't wait until you feel a little better and then come to Him. Believe boldly in the blood to wash away your sins and put your heart in a place where the Spirit can transform you. Let us not reject the gospel. We've rejected the gospel so many times in our own lives by trusting in something else. I ask this question of people all the time. Why does God accept you? How are you good before Him? And it's amazing the answers I hear, not just from lost people, but from saved religious people. Religious people, or that go to church, I should say, not necessarily saved. And they start talking about how they're over this sin, and they're struggling a little bit with that, but they're doing this activity that's good. And I'm like, it all reveals that they don't understand fully that the blood of Jesus is their only qualification. So, team, if you want to come on back up, we just want to affirm this value and go rooted deeply, because we're going to talk about mission here and give you some great stories about mission. But I feel this alert in my heart that we be a people on mission that are fully satisfied and fully accepted. We're growing in boldness and confidence with the Lord. We're not hesitant, insecure children who are pitching tents outside the house, hoping daddy will stop being mad. So many have that picture, and the devil's helping you have that. So much is being twisted in religion by sincere people who don't get it. They don't get the gospel. They're building religious ways for you to take this substance or do this activity or do this or that to get accepted before God. The Bible's clear. That's dead works. We want to do obedience of faith works after we've been in position, and we get in position only by the blood of Jesus. Let's all stand. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name for the precious blood of Jesus. Thank You that we can have confidence and boast. It says, if anyone boasts, boast in the Lord. We boast in Your sacrifice. We boast in Your righteousness and Your blood. I'm asking this morning that You would help all of us to go deeper into the grace of God, deeper into the gospel. I pray for those that are feeling dirty and shame, those that are not here today, the many that are traveling that might be under that accusation. Bring a fresh revelation that nothing but the blood satisfies us and satisfies You. Father, I just lastly thank You that, Father, You're satisfied with the blood of Jesus. You're satisfied. So I pray You free us from our addiction to trying to feel forgiven. May we get over that, and may we begin to agree with what You say the payment is. Lord, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our conscience from guilt. and dead works this morning in Jesus' name.